Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. The topic of our podcast today, the title is Siege at Waco, the Death of David Koresh. Of course, David Koresh was a religious leader of a group known as the Branch Davidians, and his group led a 51-day standoff with the FBI and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms that ended in the Branch Davidian compound being set ablaze. That happened back in 1993, ended up killing 76 people. So we're going to talk about David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. But before we do, I would like to especially thank Jason Dykes, our listener Jason Dykes from Texas, who researched and wrote this script. So thank you very much, Jason, and we certainly appreciate it, and we hope that we can bring this and do this story justice. Before we start the podcast, I would like to remind everyone that we are a history/true crime comedy podcast. We use adult language, so if adult language offends you, then you may want to check out a different podcast, and we would recommend Insight if you like true crime, or They Walk Among Us. Season 2 of They Walk Among Us is out now. It's excellent.
So, it was a fantastic episode, Timmy.
Yes, very good. So check either of those out, and you'll be very happy. But if you're okay with swearing and curse words and foul humor,
then maybe you swearing, should reevaluate your life.
Swearing and curse words.
Yeah. Yeah, swearing and cursing. Maybe if you're happy with all, if you're good with all those things, maybe it's time to reevaluate your life.
Please stick around and listen to the podcast. Before we get jumped into this story, I want to introduce our panel. I would like to first introduce the very lovely and talented, a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. Hi, Brandy. How are you?
I'm all right, Timmy. How are you today?
I am well. Anything new with you today?
Just kind of plugging along, trying to make it through to the weekend.
This is Friday, so we're almost there.
It is. I was very happy to hear that you no longer believe you have a brain tumor, so I was excited about that.
No, I was going between brain tumor and I think I've diagnosed myself with sinus infection.
Right, so yeah. Very excited about that.
It was either or.
Well, it's touch and go. Good time Timmy got replaced with sick Timmy this morning, so...
Yeah. Anyway, I started taking my bootleg antibiotics, so all's well in the world.
Well, I'm so glad. Yes. So glad.
Okay, that's enough Randy time.
Sure.
Let me introduce the man who is known as the moral compass of podcasting, mm-hmm. The man who is known as an oasis in the desert of despair.
By no one.
I've heard that before.
And this topic really is something probably close to your heart, Colonel, because of being a religious leader yourself, I'm sure you can identify with young David Koresh.
Well, he went wrong a little bit, Timmy.
Let me introduce the most dangerous man in podcasting, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, I'm not too good, Timmy.
Why is that?
Jesus Christ, well, what else is fucking new?
If you read my Facebook page, Timmy, you would know.
Well, you know, you are important to me, but I don't read every single
Well,
thing
Timmy,
you post.
Let me tell you this. Now, I turned on the news, and you know me, I stay up on current events.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm a worldly man. And all I hear is, I hear all these promises from politicians, right?
Yeah.
And then I hear our president saying, this is the biggest witch hunt in the history of the world, right?
You're talking about President Trump.
President Trump.
Yeah.
The biggest witch hunt ever.
I still have a hard time saying that.
Yet, I called those people, Timmy.
You called who?
I called the Secret Service.
Okay.
Of course. He's got a direct line ever since they did that background check on him.
I gave them the names and locations of 10 witches.
You know a lot of witches?
Well, there's one sitting right here. And apparently there is no witch hunt going on because she's sitting right across from me, Timmy.
Well.
Why? If there's a witch hunt, it's another false, it's fake news again. There's no witch hunt.
They fear me.
If there were a real witch hunt, I'd go home. I'd say, hey, Rudy, what you doing?
Well, maybe she just
It's
doesn't.
Just me and you tonight, pal, because you know what? The ice people picked up your mama. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Timmy? Wait,
immigration like and Customs gotta, is in charge of that.
Me and you got to do this.
Which craft or which hunting?
Yeah. It's like me and you got to do this podcast alone, Timmy, because the devil, she got picked up by the INS people for whatever, witchery.
Immigration's coming to get me.
Immigration, yeah. They'll send you back to witch
because they got
land.
Nothing better to do.
Well, I'm just saying. There's no witch hunt.
Blah, blah.
Because
blah.
You're saying that basically the witches are all out in the open.
They're still out here.
Now, who would you identify that we know as a witch besides the
Brandy? Well, you got your bad witches and your good witches, Timmy. Yeah, you got like.
But like, say, of your family members, who would you identify as?
Oh, of course, Dominique. You got my wife, obviously.
Who on the Team Colonel would you identify as a witch?
We're all good witches on Team Colonel, Tim.
I see.
We got the Colonel's bad girls, Jen and Amber, and it's hard to say Amber's a good witch, isn't it?
Oh, I'm not saying anything.
Karen Bonds is a good
Amber
witch.
Amber is a delight.
You just keep flapping. I don't know what to do.
Amber's kind of stabby.
You're
if there was ever a good, I'll tell you, stabby. Tasha, if there was ever a good witch, it was Tasha. Ah, okay. So, but you, devil. Why are you still walking the streets? They need to build a wall to keep you witches out.
You think that she should be stoned?
I think I should be stoned.
I think we should tie her up. I think she is stoned. Yeah, I think she's stoned now.
Whatever.
All right.
I think I should be stoned. I also
want
to say.
Let me smell that coffee, devil. Let me see what you got.
Lay off
in
my
now.
Coffee.
Yeah.
That. You know, Jason Dykes wrote this for us, and it's wonderful. I'm very excited to do this.
It's very nice of him to do that.
But evidently, Jason wanted to make sure that we didn't call it a cult, that we called it a religion.
I thought we couldn't call it.
And that's, wait a minute, and that's fine. And I do want to put that little disclaimer out there that the author of this identifies it as a religion. However,
he said that David Koresh was a pedophile and he, you know, was not a good person, but
clearly
there was not enough evidence because this is a sect of the Seventh-day Adventists.
Well,
so he said,
first of all, if you have a compound, what does that make you?
Well, I'm just saying
a militia or a cult.
We're just saying that for Jason Dykes,
yes,
does not characterize
Jason Dykes
a,
did not write that yes. It was a cult. However, Chuck and I
will
feel that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a compound, you're a cult. I will have a compound and freely admit that my people will be a cult.
See,
and I'm okay.
It wasn't cult that
we'll have a club. We'll have a culture club.
No, it is not that.
But David,
you
Koresh
are not invited
was,
into my cult.
Why?
But you know why?
I'm a good cult member.
You take over cults, Timmy.
I do not take over cults.
You cannot be in the cult.
You limp around. You stagger around.
There's
all
no.
Of a sudden,
wait a minute.
I give money away.
Wait a minute. There's no bus that runs in front of the compound.
Well, see, now that's, they should have, every cult should have a bus that runs by the
no,
compound.
No, there's no bus that runs by the compound.
It should be a law because what about people who have disabilities?
Do
we don't want
have
that kind.
Do we have handicapped parking spots at the compound?
They should.
What?
Do we have to have an elevator at the compound
I
now?
Can't, yeah. Nope, it's too much. You're too high maintenance.
Your cult does not meet government regulations.
We do not.
You're going to end up in a 51-day standoff over a parking spot.
Maybe. Yeah. It'll be a parking spot. The only we may end up in a standoff over a parking spot, but it'll be like a parking spot in Target or Walmart or something. Well, Timmy's too high maintenance for cult life.
I don't adjust well to cults.
I don't think, unless we gave you a little cottage somewhere far, far away from everybody else, Timmy.
Yeah. I need to be a cult by myself.
A cult of one?
Yes.
Is that like a wolf pack of one?
Yeah, a lone wolf, just like Lenny on Lenny and Squeaky.
Well, okay.
That was Lenny? Which one was Lenny?
Lenny was the tall one.
Yeah, Lenny, lone wolf.
Lone wolf?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you.
Yes, me.
That's you, badass lone wolf.
Yes, me. Just like Lenny.
Uh-huh. Good time, Timmy.
Okay. Good time, Timmy got the blues. Good
time, well, first of all, Timmy. I want to say, I want our audience to know that Brandy did not know the song "A Good Time Charlie Has the Blues." How do you?
Why the
not
fuck would I
know
that song?
Chuck?
How do you get through life not knowing?
Why the fuck? How do you get through life not hearing the rain?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a badass song.
What? This is what I'm
saying. He just took that girl to school, man. Took her jewelry back.
Orange juice Jones.
Orange juice Jones.
Yeah.
Yep.
Chuck has never heard it. You're nothing but a squirrel trying to get
a nut. Let me tell you something. At least that song came out in like the 80s.
Yeah, I agree. That's a cool song. I know both songs.
Where did Good Time Charlie got
like
the blues?
Early 70s,
well,
maybe 73.
What the fuck would I know about
it's
that?
It's history.
It's not.
Open a book, goddammit.
It is not history.
Open a history book.
Nope. But Good Time Timmy is back, clearly.
Let's talk about David Koresh.
He's feeling better.
I would like to say, first of all, thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or
just a wee tiny bit to me.
Yes, and we're going to give a shout out to all of our Patreon supporters at the end of this podcast. So let's talk about David Koresh there, Brandy. Young Brandy.
Young Excellent. Brandy.
David Koresh, Brandy, was born on August 17th, 1959.
That was before me.
He was born in the summertime, so his mother was pregnant during the 4th of July.
Was she?
Yeah. I'm assuming, unless he was very premature, she was pregnant.
Wait a minute, you know what? They was banging right at Christmas time. That was Mr. Koresh's Christmas present.
Yeah.
He got the reverse cowgirl for Christmas.
Gross.
Got a little poo-tang.
That's
holiday.
How you get pregnant. Reverse cowgirl, I'm telling you, that's how I got the twins.
Yeah. Is it?
For all those people that listen and want to know how to get pregnant, it's reverse cowgirl.
I had a friend who would, like, after they got done, would, like, put her legs in it.
Put your legs
on her back.
Up. Gravity.
And shake. Mm-hmm. Shake, shake, shake.
Well, no.
Shake your groove thing.
Yeah.
Remember that song?
I do.
All right. Do you have a groove thing?
Oh, you know I got a groove thing.
I got a booty. Shake, shake, shake.
I'm bringing my groove thing to my compound.
All right. David Koresh was born on August 17, 1959. His original birth name, Brandy, was Vernon Wayne Howell.
Doesn't really have the same ring to it.
Mm-mm. No, he changed his name
later.
Good
old Vern.
We're going to call him Koresh throughout this, or David Koresh. He changed his name for religious reasons later on. And he took the name David as the, you know, King David. You heard of him?
Yeah, I get that.
All right.
But here's the thing. You know, I understand that they're part of, what is it, Seventh-day Evangelicals?
Seventh-day Advents.
Seventh-day Advents. Okay. Yeah. So I get that, and that's fine. And the Seventh-day Advents are a religion.
Yeah.
They're a sect. They're a radical sect. So that's like calling those crazy fundamentalist Mormons, you know, a religion.
Crazy, yeah.
Because, you know,
well, you're not
but they're separate from Mormons. Like, we don't, they probably, those
all,
Seventh-day
all
people.
All Mormons are cults, though.
No, they're not. Shut up. But those seven-day people—they probably don't have anything to do with that other with that little.
Anybody
sect
who
right
has
there.
A rule that says you can't drink Coke Zero, you a cult.
Well, here's the thing: it
I
was
don't
based
think so.
Upon.
Yeah.
The, I think. I think Jason's point was that there's some controversy on it. The cult denotes a negative term,
uh-huh.
And that, you know, Seventh-day Advents is an established religion.
Sure,
so.
No, and I'm saying, but it's the same thing with those fundamentalist Mormons. They're separate and they're culty.
Right,
and
it's
they're
not mainstream.
It's not mainstream.
Right, exactly.
Those Seventh-day people are probably lovely people.
Yes,
and look at those, you know, Branch Davidians, like, you know,
yeah,
because they're a cult. So, you know, just because they splinter off, one doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the other.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Let me talk about Vernon.
Could you get on with it then?
Thank you.
Yeah, let's just make...
Talk about Vern.
Talk about Vern.
So Vern, his 14-year-old unwed teenage mother...
There you go.
...was named Bonnie Clark. She had engaged in relations with Bobby Wayne Howe.
Who
was his daddy.
Oh. Dirty Phoenix. Bobby.
And
Dirty
he Bobbies. Soon he soon abandoned his teenage baby mama.
Because he had to go to a football game or
no, he left,
years old.
He had a pep rally.
He left her for another woman. Well, if she's 14, can you really say he left her for another woman?
Right.
Maybe
for a different girl.
Maybe a woman.
Yeah. Different girl.
Yeah. Anyway, so he left her before David Koresh was born. In 1963, the year that the colonel was born, his mother left him with her mother.
He got it right.
Did he?
He did.
Yeah. So his mom, Bonnie Clark, the teenage mom,
mm-hmm.
She would have been 18 at this point. She left David Koresh with her mother, which would have been David's grandmother.
Sure.
In Dallas, a Dallas suburb of Garland, Texas. and did not return for him until he was 7 years old. So she left him between the ages of 4 and 7.
She just took babies. Yeah, can you watch him for a few minutes?
I'll be right back. I'm going to go get some cigarettes.
Yeah.
I will never watch a child for anybody run into the store for cigarettes.
I just got to pick up some Cheez-Its and I'll be right back.
I am never going to watch a child for somebody doing that.
Yeah. Well, she, in the 3 years, 4 years that she was gone, 3 years, I guess she was gone, she married a carpenter named Roy Halderman, and the family remained in the Garland area. So she married a carpenter. So this is sounding pretty Christ-like, Brandy.
Sure.
We got a carpenter.
If I
was a carpenter.
If I had a hammer.
Yeah.
Although I do have a hammer, Timmy. I got the hammer.
Then do you hammer in the morning?
I got the hammer of love. Sometimes I do hammer in the morning, Timmy. Sometimes I hammer in the evening.
Hammer around
sometimes
supper time.
I hammer all day, devil.
It's gross and personal, but thank you.
They call him the Cincinnati Hammer.
I will not call him that. Nobody calls you that except for evidently Timmy.
And
which is concerning.
Mrs. Colonel.
No, she does not.
All right. David Koresh described his
hammerhead. Hammerhead.
I won't say anything.
Cut diamonds.
although we were in a meeting yesterday, I don't know. We were in a meeting earlier this week, and our boss said something about exits only. Yeah, I just wanted to laugh.
I did.
David Koresh, our management meeting.
Five people in that meeting, and I'm texting the two of you across the table. Because it's not obvious.
Exit only. There's no such
thing. Our management meetings were like Beavis and Butthead.
And the one lone person that's trying to keep some sense into all of it just kind of sits over there and cries silently.
All right.
Yeah, there's five people on the management team and us three.
Yeah.
We are three of them.
We're 60% of the management team.
and our boss is just as bad as we are.
He is.
And then, you know.
Except he's like competent.
Well, yeah. So there's that.
Yeah. He actually does stuff. Yeah.
He's not more mature.
No, not more mature, just competent. And then, you know, we got this other poor woman over there who's trying to get her job done, just trying to get along in the world, and we just keep fucking with her.
You know, he gave me a really good – I got a really good compliment from Kevin today. You know, those performance – I had to turn in a report to my boss, and he said, this is excellent work. And then he said, it's amazing what you could possibly do if you had just an ounce of ambition in you.
Yeah, but you don't.
And that I would take that. Yeah. I would take that and run with it.
I did. I was like, yeah.
Thanks.
I'm
you
taking
should tell
that
him
as a
to
compliment.
Put that on your next evaluation.
I know, yeah. If I had just 1 ounce of ambition.
You know what you should do?
If you only apply yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Take situational leadership.
Yeah, Brandy.
Oh, yeah, Brandy's taking situational.
She's in a class. It's a management class called situational leadership. She's been in one class and already
and
claiming.
A situational leader.
No. You've got people who completed all three classes.
Oh, I don't care.
And you cannot go around calling yourself a situational leader.
You're going to give yourself an aneurysm.
Well, you can't go
all
around
that excited about that.
You cannot go around claiming to be something you're not.
I will just say this.
Really? I can't.
The schedulers called me yesterday and apologized to me for scheduling for me for the training.
Which is, well, because A, they don't want you down there. B, you were supposed to be in that class. Oh, but I've got to get my socks washed or my teeth cleaned or whatever the fuck ever.
A dentist appointment. And
that
he
didn't go to. Yeah.
All day.
Yeah, that he didn't go to.
Blah, I've got blah, an email blah. In there from them apologizing to me for scheduling
care.
Me for training.
You fucking
they said
slacker
he's
ass.
They said he's as developed as he can possibly get.
That's
sad.
That clay hardened up a long time ago. We ain't going to mold that shit. No.
All right, let's get back to David Koresh because this is a long one. So
I got a long one.
Seriously.
So anyway, Koresh described his childhood as very lonely.
Well, yeah.
He had poor study skills. He was dyslexic. So
he was what?
He didn't believe in dog.
What?
He was.
What? He didn't believe in dog. Okay, I got it.
Okay.
I was so confused. It is hotter than Satan's outhouse in here.
It is warm in here. Timmy won't let us turn the fan on because he's afraid
we
it might
not.
Pick up.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
We've got directional mics.
Sound
mic.
Quality.
Sound quality. We don't give a shit about the content, but what we want it to sound
this
good.
We want it to sound crystal clear.
Jason didn't.
Okay,
well, Jason. Yeah, but normally
he doesn't believe in dog. Go ahead.
So anyway, he was put in a special education class and was nicknamed Werner. I don't know why.
Ginger ale.
By his fellow students.
You know, it's a special ed class. Maybe it's all they could come up with.
Maybe.
They don't come up with real clever names. The kids outside do.
But he showed an aptitude for music and the Bible, and memorizing long passages before he was 12 years old.
An aptitude for the Bible?
Yeah. Mm. He became a born-again Christian at age 20 in 1979, the year I graduated high school. 79.
You graduated high school in 79?
Yeah. And he attended the Seventh-day...
I was five.
He attended the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He soon fell for the pastor's daughter, Brandy.
The pastor's daughter?
He went out into the pasture.
How about the pastor's daughter?
Is the pastor,
I bet she was nice, too.
Is the pastor's daughter just a weed?
It's a cow patty.
Do you remember that song?
Pastor's Daughter?
What's the name of it? Son of a Preacher Man.
Yes, I do.
That was good.
Dusty Springfield.
That was a good song.
Mm-hmm.
That's history. Anyway, the pastor's daughter and him was praying for guidance. He fell for her while they were praying for guidance. And he opened the Bible to Isaiah 34:16. Of course, you're very familiar with that, Colonel. You want to go ahead and quote it for
us? Isaiah 34:16. Now, I don't know if you want me to say that out loud.
Well, I don't mean to put you on the spot. I know you know the Bible like that.
And though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death.
No, this was not a here, quote unquote. I'm quoting Isaiah, I guess. None should want for her.
Hold on.
For her mate.
Let me think for a minute.
None should want for her mate?
Yes.
No, Timmy, that is not it at all.
It appears that it is it.
Seek
ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one shall fail. No one shall want her mate. For my mouth hath commanded, and his spirit hath gathered it.
He's on Biblepedia again.
Yeah. He Googled it.
No, it took me, because sometimes I confuse.
Bullshit, you got your phone and you're looking at your phone.
Sometimes I confuse Isaiah with...
Malachi?
With
the other children of the
with
corn?
With Ed.
Pedro.
The book of Pedro.
With the other children of the corn, you get them confused.
All right.
Seek ye out of the book of the Lord.
All right. So anyway, he thought this was a sign that this girl was his for the...
taking?
For his wife. Convinced this was a sign from God, he approached the pastor and told him that God wanted him to have his daughter for a wife.
Oh.
Yeah. So... pastor threw him out of his house, and
the pastor wasn't buying it.
No,
fuck out of here.
But David was persistent.
What kind of pastor throws you out of the house?
Especially the special
Bible.
Ed kid.
Yeah.
Well,
we called him Speds when I was in high school. Is that what you call him?
We called him Zeeks.
All right, that's terrible. We would not approve of that today.
I don't know why we called him Zeeks.
It's the only name they could come up with for you. Yeah.
Beats Vernon.
Werner.
All right. So anyway, the minister was having none of it. He throws David Koresh out and says, you're not.
Says, nah, baba, nah.
Nah, baba, nah. but David was persistent with his pursuit. He was eventually expelled from the church.
Well, yeah.
Licking all the stained glass.
So they kick you out for harassment?
It was a stained glass.
Well, it probably depends.
To turn the other cheek.
Well, first of all, they didn't excommunicate him. They kicked him out of the church. Had there been another 7-day whatever church around, then he probably could have gone there. But he couldn't go to that branch.
Yeah.
7-Eleven day Adventist.
Whatever.
There's one there.
They're always open.
Babu is there.
They had the 5-day Adventist, but they just weren't
committed.
Babu
is the clerk there.
Please do not throw peanuts to my God.
Jesus God.
I would like a big Slurpee.
Wow. And they're always open.
Could you be? But you know what? They got big ass locks on the door.
Oh.
Well, all right. Sometimes
think about
do,
that the next time you
they
go
have
in
to do
there.
Inventory.
We've offended about everyone we could possibly offend in the first 8 minutes of this podcast. So let's try to be nice.
We love everybody.
We do. We love people who are with special needs. We love people.
Well, I clearly do because I podcast with them.
It depends on what kind of special needs they have.
Well,
you know?
And because I know I'm
they
partial
got that
to
nymphomania.
People. Yeah, you know, everywhere I go, women want to kiss me right on the mouth.
Do they?
Right on the mouth.
Right on.
It's
the mouth.
Those women with the big cold sores that don't like kissing me.
It's that nymphomania. Shit's all over the place. It's an epidemic.
I don't.
Kiss me right on the mouth.
Not on the mouth.
Right on the mouth or where I go. It's a curse.
And yeah, I can see that.
All right. So having failed to secure his minister's sweet daughter.
Did she want anything to do back with
this
him?
Is what Jason, this is what Jason has written. Having failed to secure himself some sweet pastor's daughter's trim.
God love it.
Oh, I love Jason. That sweet pastor daughter trim. And everybody knows the pastor daughter, she's a wild one.
Yeah, this one's on Jason. We're not taking responsibility for this.
But I want to know.
So he after the pastor daughter trim.
Does it say ever that the pastor's daughter
I don't have it
the
in
the pastor's
here,
daughter wants her. See, yeah. You got me saying pasture. The pastor's daughter.
Just say minister.
The minister's daughter wanted him back. Like, was this a Romeo and Juliet kind of story, or was get away from me, stalker kind of story?
Yeah, I think he just had a hard on for her. But anyway, when he could not have her. Did not get some of that trim, as Jason puts it.
Sure.
The sweet trim.
He moved to Waco, Texas, and joined the Branch Davidians. They were a splinter group of the Davidian Seventh-day Adventist group, which was itself a splinter group from the Seventh-day Adventist. So this is a splinter group of a splinter group.
So these are like the Baptists.
I don't know. I'm not going there.
No, I'm just saying if you go to Baptist church, and it's just kind of a joke amongst Baptists.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you got 30 people in the congregation next month, you're going to have two churches of 15 each. Yeah. And then after
I've never
that,
heard that joke.
No, it's not a joke.
And I would like to say it's not very funny.
It's not a joke. I mean, it's just like it's a thing that Baptists, there are so many different types of Baptist churches, you know, to fall under the Baptist umbrella.
He's a reverend.
I'm a reverend, goddammit. I know this stuff.
He knows his shit. All right. All right, anyway, so he went to Waco. He joins the Branch Davidians, who were a splinter group of another splinter group of the Seventh-day Adventists. Okay, with me so far?
Yeah.
They marked...
their Seventh-day Advents twice removed.
Yes. their observance of... They were marked by their observance of Saturday for the Sabbath and put an emphasis on diet and health. As well as an imminent coming of the Lord, and there are about 20 million of them worldwide. So this is not a small group.
Wonder what it sounds like when Lord comes.
I don't know, like, but if there's 20 million,
sounds like when doves cry.
There is an untapped audience there for our podcast. So let's be kind to them. 20 million worldwide. They were hung up with prophecy and end of days and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So when we get to the siege, that the government's actions kind of play into their end of day.
Well, sure, because you can interpret anything. It's, see, I told you this was coming.
Mm-hmm. The Davidian Seventh-day Adventists is a lay former reform group that sprang up in the 1930s. So they've been around a while. Under the leadership of Victor T. Hootliff.
Hoodwinked.
Who broke off from the main Advent body over their interpretations of the Old Testament's prophecies about Israel's role in the apocalypse.
In the what?
The apocalypse.
The what?
I'm not saying it again.
You didn't say it the first time.
The apocalypse.
Zombie apocalypse.
They went up
to Mount Carmel over here by Batavia, Ohio. No. Mount Carmel Center outside of Waco, Texas, 1934, following this Hultiff guy, and he died. And then his wife, Florence, took over the group.
Oh, Florence Henderson?
Not Florence Henderson. This Florence Hudoff, whoever, this guy's wife who was running the sect. He dies, and then she takes over, okay?
Was her plan.
I guess that's fucking what they do in this
cult
sect.
That was her plan all along.
Splinter group. Thank you, Charles.
They were secticals.
Yeah. Anyway, she takes over this.
You're a secticle.
She takes over the sect, right? So they set up the Mount Carmel Center outside of Waco, Texas in 1934 following her husband's death. And Florence takes over. They are convinced that the end of the world is coming, Brandy.
We all are.
And they gather hundreds of faithful followers to Mount Carmel in 1959 to await the end. It didn't happen.
No shit?
Yeah. It would have been in the papers, I'm sure.
And those poor some bitches ran up their credit card bills and everything.
Oh, you already
else.
Know.
Yeah. And then, you know what?
They didn't pay their cable.
No, total. Everybody.
Got hookers, like cocaine.
Oh, you know, he ain't your daddy. It's time you need to know. He ain't your daddy.
Yeah.
Following this setback, a guy named Benjamin Roden. So
not the end of the world is a setback.
Well, she had convinced them all that it was that time, end of days. And when it didn't happen, so this other group member named Benjamin Roden, he formed another splinter group called the Branch Davidian Seventh-day Adventists, and it succeeded in taking over Mount Carmel, the group. And he died in 1978, and he was succeeded by his wife, Lois.
Succeeded?
Yeah, by his wife, Lois.
Because succeeded is a completely different word.
She became
who claimed to be an incarnation of the Holy Spirit.
Brandon. See, you know what? This is what I don't get.
Yeah.
This, and I never understood this.
Can marry into the Holy Spirit.
Apparently. But I've never understood this, and I think I've probably said this before, but, you know, all of these people that sit there and say, you know, they start these sects, and all these people, you know, God spoke to me. Motherfucker, you were selling funnel cakes at the carnival last week.
Yeah.
Why, of all of the people in the world,
did God speak to you?
God spoke to you? Yeah. Are you serious right now?
I like funnel cakes.
I understand. I like funnel cakes too.
Like
I will pay the fair entrance fee to go and buy a funnel cake.
Renee will go to the fair just to get
just
funnel cakes.
For a funnel cake. Exactly.
And then she'll go back for funnel cakes before she leaves.
And I
then,
like lemonade.
But here's the thing: the shake and lemonade those are good. But I mean, but the thing is, and not that there's anything, you know, making funnel cakes at the carnival is a perfectly legitimate.
Have you ever dated a carny?
We did not date. We did not date, but you know, being a carny, there's no shame in being a carny. Be a carny, but you know, God is not speaking to you.
Well, we don't know that. God may likes carny though.
God, you know, you're not the only one.
Well, anyway,
you're not the only one who knows that shit's going to happen.
Lois,
usually
Lois Roden, who was
when God's speaking to you.
Yeah,
you need to get back on your meds.
Probably.
I mean, that's what you need to do.
Well, anyway, Lois claimed that God spoke to her, so. She was the Holy Spirit.
See?
So Lois was the head of this sect in 1981 when David Koresh joined.
Are we three times removed from the seven-day ad?
He played the guitar and he sang in church services at Mount Carmel, and his band played a few times at clubs in Waco.
So, he was out playing in a sinner's world?
He had gigs.
He was not slick.
He did Metallica covers.
He was thin with long
Inner Sandman.
He was thin
Marilyn Manson.
He was thin with long wavy black hair. Ooh. He was good with engines.
Panty droppers.
He was good with engines, Brandy, and he was good with guns. He wore dirty jeans, t-shirts, and sneakers.
That's what Chuck wears.
He wears that.
Works for me.
In 1983, Koresh claimed that he had the gift. A prophecy, and begin having illicit relations with the 65-year-old Lois.
Hold on. Yeah. Oh, hold the fuck on here.
He's 24 years old.
Maybe that's how God spoke to him, was through Lois's vagina.
Because that vagina almost older than Moses
Hello. Yeah, he's banging Lois.
Hold on. How much... Now, he was good with engines, so he had to carry some 10W-40 around with him to bang that old.
I don't know what...
65 years old and you're tapping
out? WD-40?
I don't know.
No, the motor oil, just because you know she ain't lubing herself up.
I don't know if they use lubricants or not, but he was...
You know, they had to move her dick out of the way. She's 65 years old. She probably packing 10 inches by then.
Koresh claimed that God had told him that Lois Roden would get pregnant with the chosen one.
Sure, at 65, that happens all the time.
Well, you got to admit, if she got pregnant at 65.
If she got pregnant, it's the hand of God's in there somewhere.
Yeah, because, you know, menopause hasn't hit that yet.
This caused a conflict with Lois's son, George Roden. So she's got a son. Who
motherfucker?
Kinda, Benjamin Roden and Lois has a son, and George think he's going to inherit all this when Mama.
Not if she has a baby.
When Mama, you know, bites the dust.
Every time Koresh walked by the guy, he'd say, hey, motherfucker. And
he said, call me dad.
Call me dad.
Call me daddy, baby.
So in 1984, then 25-year-old David Koresh married 14-year-old Rachel Jones.
One way to the other. What the fuck?
And he said?
And the situation calmed down. Hold on.
And he said? Did it? And they became?
Man and wife.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
Well, no, she was Mrs. Koresh at that point.
Mrs. Koresh.
Oh, okay. Well, jackass. Never mind.
So wait a minute. So he goes from 65-year-old to marrying, we're going to assume at 14, to marrying a virgin.
A gilf. He went from a gilf to a...
He went from a milf to a gilf.
I don't think she was even a milf. She was 14, so...
No, the milf would be that... Well, no, not... Ooh, gilf is granny, isn't it? I was thinking girl.
Yeah, granny.
No, she'd be a kilf. A corpse, he wants to.
So anyway, Lois died in 1986. God bless her soul.
You know.
Did he bang after that?
There was a power struggle with George, her son George... And he forced David Koresh and his followers out of the Mount Carmel at gunpoint.
Kid George.
Invited them to leave, in other words.
Yes.
So he gets kicked out on a lot of these churches, our young David.
So you know how to solve that. Start your own.
And that's what he does. He moves his camp to, interesting enough, Palestine, Texas.
Oh.
Living on a small piece of property in the lush piney woods of East Texas. Koresh embarked on a recruiting trips throughout California, the UK, Australia, and Israel. He probably seen Marvin down in Australia when he was down there. Mally.
I doubt it.
It depends on where he was. If he was out in the woods looking at animals, he might have run into Marvin.
No, he was out recruiting these guys for his church.
If he was recruiting in the bar, he might run into Allie.
Yeah. He later claimed to have a vision in Israel that he was the modern Cyrus the Great.
The what?
The modern Cyrus the Great.
I don't know who that is.
He was an Old Testament king, Brandy. If you know your Bible, are you not a licensed? I think you are a licensed.
I'm ordained, but I don't know the Bible by heart.
Well,
what?
You don't even
Chuck knew who Cyrus was.
Chuck Googled it.
Cyrus the Great was an Old Testament king who allowed the Jews to return to Israel following the Babylonian captivity in the 6th century BC, Brandon.
It's actually Cyrus the Second of
Persia. Friends called him Cy.
Yeah, sure. Cy. But he's Cyrus the Second of Persia. It was back in,
he would take about
600 BC.
When he would take a shallow breath, they would call it Cy.
Nice.
Koresh soon blossomed.
You set that up. I mean, you actually.
I know.
Good time, Timmy sucks.
You know. You throw it out there and see what sticks. Koresh soon blossomed as a teacher, Brandy.
I'm sure.
Buoyed by the revelations that he had received in Israel, that he was Cyrus the Great.
Oh, he was Cyrus the Great.
Yeah.
The reincarnation of Cyrus the Great.
Cy.
Sure.
He also began to preach that as God's special prophet. He would be allowed more as a special prophet. God allowed him more than one wife,
and
he soon took on 14-year-old Karen Doyle.
He's got a thing for the
babies.
He
liked him young, didn't he?
Yeah,
yeah. It gets worse. His first wife Rachel was upset, and she got so upset that she quit playing Halo at the time, and later claimed that, God okayed, she said that God okayed this relationship in her dreams.
Dreams?
Yeah, she had a dream that God said, you know, lay off the boy.
Can pretty much do anything in the world if you say, you know what, God told me to do it.
No. She's saying she got upset, Rachel, his first wife. But then she had a dream that God said, "Don't be mad at David."
It's okay. Now she's not upset.
Yeah, I'm giving this.
Devil,
up.
Do you ever get upset? Do you ever get mad at Dave for dreams? You have a dream, and Dave does some crazy ass shit.
Not much.
Renee will wake up mad at me for what I did in her dreams.
Yeah, not very often. I have so many reasons. I have so many reasons to be mad at him when I'm awake.
Well, and see, she's got to dream up reasons to be mad at me.
Not really.
because I'm, you know,
not really
pretty much a perfect husband. But go ahead, Timmy.
So later, he's got two 14-year-old brides.
Good God.
He later marries.
Can you imagine that house?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Come here.
Well, it gets worse because he marries Rachel Jones's 12-year-old sister, Michelle Jones.
Mrs. Jones.
She bore him three children.
Ew.
What?
Yeah. In 1987, he added a fourth wife who was 16 years old. She's getting kind of
getting a little
long
old for him. Long. I mean, damn.
It gets worse. Wife number five, he married in 1987. She was also 16. So he could take them, you know, give them their driver's license, get their driving permit together, I guess.
God.
And number six, wife number six was 20.
Oh, well. She's practically a grandmother.
All of them, all of whom bore him children who later would die in Waco. So
she was just sitting around waiting to die herself at 20 years old. I mean, she was just...
God, back in Mount Carmel. Remember Mount Carmel where the...
remember Mount Carmel Lois, 5 minutes ago?
Lois died and her
right.
son took over.
The boy took over.
Kicked out David Krush.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his support, George's rodent support, was in steep decline. To regain it... He challenged David Koresh to a contest to raise the dead.
Oh.
So he was trying to give Chuck an erection, basically.
Oh.
No.
Why didn't he just challenge him to a duel and
well,
get it
no,
over with?
Well, it was a challenge to raise the dead to see who was really the number one prophet there. Going so far to exhume the corpse of Davidian of a Davidian buried out Mount Carmel. So
that's some bullshit.
He said,
you
"Put your shit
there?
On the table."
It's just
you get if you're a fucking prophet, you make this. That's a fair. That's a fair.
Well, look though, but there's a difference between a necromancer and a prophet.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
come
true.
On now.
This guy's got the Brady Bunch for his wives,
right?
So he should be able, if he's a prophet, he should be able to make this
nope.
person.
There's
no,
a difference.
He should have been. Now, for me, I would have said, I prophesize that some bitch ain't coming back to life.
Exactly.
Oh, I was right.
Or well, you can have one of
hallelujah.
Your.
Hallelujah.
Or you can have one of your baby wives weekend at Bernie's their ass and just put them in a chair. And
David Koresh did the right thing. He went to the authorities and filed charges against Rodin for illegally exhuming a corpse.
He cheated.
Nice.
But the police told him he needed proof, such as a photograph. So
or a corpse, yeah.
David returned to Mount Carmel with seven followers attempting to get a photograph. I guess this is, you know, they're trying to get the picture of the dead person.
Yes, that would be a photograph.
His group was discovered, and a 45-minute-long gunfight broke out before the sheriff arrived. So,
well, why are you taking seven people with you?
Well, he's got to have backup.
It's hard to keep a group that size quiet, especially if they're all his baby wives.
Apparently, it was a smart move because a 45-minute gunfight broke out. Or take profits to a gunfight, Brandy.
Well, look, you know, you can't keep... Had he not had a group that size, there may not have been a gunfight.
Well, he had to have some backup.
I thought he
was good with a gun. Took him 45 minutes.
All he had to do was take a fucking picture. You take yourself and you take one person.
Yeah, but they weren't just going to let him sit there and take a picture to take
to
the cops.
Well, no, you got
to
sneak in. You got to be covert. You can't be covert with seven people.
Well, he cannot be covert anyway because he was already kicked out of that group. Because
well,
banged
plus
that,
he
banged
got a
that
bunch
guy,
of
16,
14-year-old girls walking around. You can't
That's
be quiet
what, you
with
can't
those
bring them in because they're all cackling back there.
All right.
Chomping
Koresh and his followers were charged with attempted murder.
Mm.
The trial resulted from this ended with Koresh and his cohorts walking out of the courtroom as free men. So they got off. They got off. Rodin, on the other hand, the other leader, he was given a six-month jail term for filing a legal brief in which he threatened to call AIDS down on the state, the Texas State Supreme Court. Which
nice.
Might not be a bad move, actually.
He wanted to give him AIDS?
He asked
like a
God
plague. Like
to,
a plague.
Yeah.
He's gonna send down AIDS like locusts.
Yeah, it's on the Texas State Supreme Court. So
yeah,
that ends that will give you 6 months in a pokey, I guess, for that. You can't be calling out no plagues on
and you can get the AIDS and the plague in the pokey.
Depends on where you get pokied.
Yeah. They do the hokey pokey on you.
In 1989, Brandy, Rodin was convicted of murder and imprisoned in a mental hospital. Since Rodin owed thousands of dollars in unpaid taxes.
Who did he murder?
But he also owed unpaid taxes in Mount Carmel. So he went to prison. So tell us what happens next, young Brandy.
So Koresh and his followers were able to raise the money and reclaim the property.
Yeah, because the Rodin had lost it because they owed taxes. Okay.
In May of 1990, on one of his recruiting trips to California, he filed a petition in the California State Superior Court in Pomona, to legally change his name for publicity and business purposes to David Koresh.
Well, that was a good move.
His first name...
Otherwise, we'd be doing this podcast on Vernon.
Yeah. His first name, David, symbolized a lineage directly to the biblical King David. So he can't make up his mind if he's related to Si.
He was reincarnated as Si, the Great. The Great.
Sure, whatever. He doesn't know what the
fuck
he is.
I wonder if he knew the chord. Because David knew the secret chord that he played that pleased the Lord.
Yeah, I
don't
know.
Hallelujah.
Yes, that's true.
All right. That was terrible.
At Mount Carmel.
It's a fact. Your Bible, Timmy.
There were constant Bible studies. Members might sit there for 6, 10, 15, 19 hours studying the Bible.
Well, that's kind of what Chuck and I do Sabbath.
As any good splinter group will tell you, their focus was on the book of Revelation.
Yes.
In particular, the difficult passages
and
concerning...
And don't you think people focus on Revelations because they want to say, I told you so?
Oh, absolutely.
Have you ever read Revelations?
Yeah. It's,
it don't make a damn bit of sense.
No.
Yeah, but that's the best part about it, because you can read into it anything you want.
Right. In particular, the difficult passage concerning the seven seals. There, God is described as holding a scroll locked by seven seals.
Are these like seals at the zoo, at the aquarium?
There's a squirrel and seals?
Seals. I like David seals. Seals and Croft.
Not seals.
Yeah.
I think she's talking about the seals that flop around in the water.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. There were seven.
Seal. Kiss from a rose, that kind of stuff. Seven of those.
Oh, like a seal.
No. On which
I don't know what that was. What was that? Do you want to clarify?
That was a
ball squeeze.
Yeah, that was
let's see.
Again, ladies, while doing the reverse cowgirl, reach down and grab your partner's scrotum. They were appreciated.
Gently reach down.
Yeah,
though.
Gently squeeze it.
The problem with
if you get tired of riding your partner, reach down and grab their scrotum.
But it'll the problem
make
it, with that
it'll
is
make the process go along.
The
much
whole
quicker.
Thing is when they start to get more and more aroused, they start to squeeze harder. It's like when you're pulling somebody's hair. You're trying to stroke the hair and everything, and then all of a sudden you're getting more aroused, and you're snatching them bald. I don't want my testiculars in somebody's hand.
I would like to say for our male listeners out here, I'm going to give you a tip on making love.
Just the tip? Please don't.
Making love, Timmy.
Hold on.
Special PSA, making love from Good Time Timmy.
I also want it known that he told us we needed to move this along because it was kind of a long one.
This is important. This is important.
Oh my God.
Guys, if you're with a young lady and she is on top of you, she's riding you. Colonel, what do they call that?
A cowgirl.
Yes. So she's riding you cowgirl style. All you have to do to make her happy, you
they
guys,
$10 extra.
Reach up with your thumb. Just rub the clit area. Is that the right term?
I believe it's the clitoral region, Timmy.
Jeez.
Because the clitoral region is different on every woman. So, man, you got to get it.
Yeah, sometimes it's on their elbow. You just have to look for it.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Like Linda
that.
Lovelace, she had it in her throat.
Yeah.
You have to look for it. You gotta feel around down there, and then you're gonna run across something that feels like a little tiny acorn.
Yeah, later
it becomes a penis. But you're gonna hit a little nub down there. It feels like an acorn, and
man in a boat.
Don't try to pull it off of them or nothing, you know. And just massage it back and forth and.
It will make her happy, and you'll notice that she'll start going a lot faster when you do that. I've noticed.
She will
do that.
And she'll start doing this like,
She will, Brandy.
She become Frankenstein.
Your comments on that, Brandy?
Fuck.
All right, gentlemen, I just want to... The ladies will appreciate me saying that.
All right.
Some men don't know how to
do
that.
It's a public service. And we're more than a podcast. We're here to help you help yourselves.
And help your partner.
Because,
I hate you both.
Because,
I really do.
No, I mean, no woman likes to have that...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Region ignored.
Right.
You know, I mean, women, it's a 50-50 roll of the dice as to whether they want you to play with the boobs or not. Okay. You know what I mean?
Right.
Some women are boob women, some women are. You,
I got to get on with this. But you got to
no,
shut
I'm
the
just
fuck
asking.
Up.
I'm just saying.
I don't say
every
anything.
Woman appreciates that.
Okay.
It's just real like, quick, guys. No. Reach up with the thumb. Touch the clitoral region of the
don't
woman.
Just touch it. You got to, there's a technique.
We'll
do a Facebook Live one day and I'll show you the proper technique.
Baby steps, Colonel.
Okay.
Just touch it, rub it with your thumb while she's riding up and down.
Oh, my
it,
God.
She will thank you for it. She will thank you for it. She won't even ask for money afterwards. Just do it.
A lot of times they still ask for money.
Yeah, maybe an hour later.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So anyway.
Back to David Koresh.
Yeah. So they're looking at the book of Revelations. There's a passage concerning the seven seals. And their God is described as holding a scroll locked by seven seals on which is written the prophecies about the end times.
Okay.
Which is like, remember that movie, The Seventh Sign with Demi
yes.
Moore?
Yes, Demi Moore. A classic.
That was about that.
I could mess up some seals.
She was good in About Last Night, but it was a different type of show.
Sure it was. Okay. So the Branch Davidians believed that whoever unlocked the seals and revealed the secrets would set in motion the end of time.
That sounds reasonable.
End times. So, I mean, is that what they wanted to do? I don't get that.
No, I mean, that sounds completely logical to me that the end of times would be coming.
Yes. Surviving Davidians. Someone's
going to be right. Someone's going to predict it. Eventually, they're going to be right.
Well,
but then you don't get to say I told you so because the world's over.
Right. Surviving Davidians claim that the large stock of guns was part of a legitimate business run by Davidian members who traveled to gun shows and made thousands of dollars that helped the group at Mount Carmel. However, statements made by Koresh during the siege point to more than just a business concern.
Yeah, so he's stockpiling weapons, basically, right?
Thank you, yes.
Okay.
A key belief of Koresh's that he explained on the radio is that the turn-the-other-cheek stuff that Jesus taught was just no longer relevant, and that Jesus' return to earth would be accompanied by violence.
Okay.
He taught that they should not initiate violence, but they could certainly defend themselves if attacked.
That's fair,
a belief
Colonel.
Shared by millions of Americans.
I think he's talking about stand your ground.
Mm-hmm. really stand your ground started with Jesus.
Sure. Koresh stressed.
Yeah, that's one of those little known unknown facts about the Bible.
Yeah,
stand your ground was actually one of the commandments. Thou they shalt found, stand thou ground.
Well, they found that commandment in Florida.
Yeah.
Koresh stressed sexual purity for his followers.
Oh, absolutely.
However, as the special prophet, Koresh was exempt.
Well, of course.
He said that his special status gave him the obligation to father a holy race and continued to add wives to his harem, many of them teenage girls. It's breeding stock. However, to evade authorities, Koresh married them off to his single male followers. Mm-hmm. But those relationships were clearly for show. Only Koresh was allowed to plant his seed.
Have you ever planted your seed, Colonel?
I am Johnny...
Appleseed.
I was going to say Johnny Just Seed, but I thought that would be a little tasteless.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Continue, Brandy.
I have four children, Timmy. I have seed that has split the egg, Timmy.
He does, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
Do I have to hear about this shit again?
No, I mean.
Like, I get it. He has
it's
twins.
One thing to go in swimmers. And fertilize egg.
I don't care.
They swim.
Timmy, my swimmers carry machetes with them. They will.
He has like little Mark Spitz.
Yeah. I got what? Who's that tall, skinny guy?
Oh, I don't.
Who broke Mark?
I forget.
Anyway. You know the guy,
Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps. Mine are like ninja Michael Phelpses.
Yeah.
Cut an egg
he
right
in half.
He can
make a woman pregnant just by looking at her.
I've done that before.
I wish you would not sit that
it's
close to me.
The prophecy.
All right. During the siege, Koresh would allow 21 children to leave the group, but his 12 children would remain until the fiery end.
Yeah.
On February 27th, 1993, the Waco Tribune Herald began publishing The Sinful Messiah, a series of articles that alleged that Koresh had physically abused children in the compound and had committed statutory rape by taking multiple underage brides. In addition to these allegations, Koresh and his followers were suspected of stockpiling illegal weapons. Duh. In May of 1992, a UPS worker told the sheriff's office about a package that had broken open on delivery to Mount Carmel, revealing firearms, inert grenade casings, black powder, and parts to convert AR-15s to fully automatic weapons.
You know, those fucking UPS drivers are nosy.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah, yeah, mind your own business.
Yeah. If I get something like Cialis or Viagra, none of your damn business.
Well, let me tell you something.
I get some heroin from... Afghanistan? None of your business.
None of your business. And you know, my friend's a FedEx driver, and he told me.
If I get a love doll from China? None of your business.
Every time you get a sex toy, they know right where it comes from. When you sign them for that package with that big smile on your face, devil, and trying to pretend it's like, oh, I got my new pair of shoes from Amazon, but you got the King Flexible double-ended dong now.
The double-headed dong.
They know what you got.
Nothing worse than a double-headed dong.
Yeah, they know what you got.
Are you done? Okay.
Could you get back to the story, please?
You know what women do with a double dong? They pleasure each other, and then they meet in the middle.
That's sinful.
It is.
This whole thing is making me want to purify myself.
It makes me uncomfortable to talk the way Brandy talks.
It does.
I don't feel safe with you.
You're creating not a safe zone here, devil. Yeah.
Well, then shut the fuck up so I can get on with it.
Please continue, Brandy.
On July 30th, ATF agents, that's alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, Timothy.
Yes.
Visited the Branch Davidians gun dealer, Henry McMahon, who tried to get them to talk with Koresh on the phone. Koresh offered to let the ATF inspect the Branch Davidians weapon and paperwork, but the ATF declined. What
we're
the
good.
Fuck?
We're good. We're not.
We talked to you for a minute, so we're happy now.
We're good with that.
Yeah.
The ATF then began surveillance of the Davidians, including sending in an undercover agent, Robert Rodriguez, whose identity Koresh learned.
Yeah, so they got it. They've got a undercover cop now, part of the Branch Davidians.
Although thank you for that recap of that last sentence.
Anything I can do to help you, Brandy, I'm happy.
Although the ATF preferred to arrest Koresh when he was outside Mount Carmel, planners received inaccurate information that Koresh rarely left it. The ATF attempted to execute their search warrant on a Sunday morning, February 28, 1993. Any advantage of surprise was lost when a KWTX-TV reporter, there on your side, yes, who had been tipped off about the raid, asked for directions from a mailman who was Koresh's brother-in-law. There you go. Koresh then told undercover ATF agent Robert Rodriguez that they knew the raid was imminent. Rodriguez was astounded or astonished, to find that his cover was blown and soon left the compound. When asked later what the Branch Davidians had been doing when he left the compound, Rodriguez just replied that they were praying. Branch Davidians stated that Koresh ordered male followers to begin taking up defensive positions while the women and children were told to take cover. Koresh told them he would try to speak to the agents, and what happened next would depend on the agents' intentions. ATF agents stated they heard shots coming from within the compound, while Branch Davidian survivors claimed that the first shots came from the ATF. During the first shots, Koresh was wounded, so he really wasn't very jukey to get out of the way.
No, right.
He was shot in the wrist.
That's not even being shot. What kind of candy ass some bitch?
Within a minute.
He was shot in the wrist. Look at me. You know how many times I've been shot in the hand, arm, and legs, and thighs?
Never.
More than 50 Cent. You ain't never seen me. I don't even go to the emergency room. Somebody shoots me in the wrist.
It's
no
25
more.
Cent.
Yeah, I'm 75 Cent. I've been shot more than him.
75 Cent.
I got shot with a damn industrial nail gun, Timmy.
Yeah.
In the back of my calf.
Chris ain't got shit on.
Went all the
75
way
cent
into
here.
My damn calf bone.
Within a minute of the raid starting, Branch Davidian Wayne Martin called emergency services, pleading for them to stop shooting. The resident asked...
He had an ingrown testicle as a child.
Who's that?
As a child. The resident asked for a ceasefire, and the audio tape
what
recording...
What was that guy we did? I had the one ball.
One ball Charlie?
Yeah.
He liked Good Time Timmy. One ball Charlie.
The resident asked for a ceasefire, and audio tapes record him saying, "Here they come again," and that's them shooting. That's not us. On the east side of the compound, agents climbed onto the roof to reach Koresh's room and the arms storage. On the west slope of the roof, three agents reached Koresh's window and were crouching beside it when they came under fire. One agent was killed and another wounded. The third agent scampered over the peak of the roof and joined other agents attempting to enter the arms room. The window was smashed, a flashbang stun grenade thrown in, and three agents entered the arms room. When another tried to follow them, a hail of bullets penetrated the wall and wounded him, but he was able to reach a ladder to safety. An agent fired his shotgun at Branch Davidians.
Something penetrated him?
Let me say this. When the ATF comes at you, you kill a couple of their agents, no siege is going to end well.
No. They get pissed.
Yeah, they don't take that shit kindly.
Let's see. An agent fired a shotgun at Branch Davidians who were shooting at him until he was hit in the head and killed. Inside the arms room, the agents killed a Branch Davidian gunman and discovered a cache of weapons, but then came under heavy fire and were wounded. An agent outside provided them with covering fire for their escape, but was shot and killed instantly.
Hmm.
Dozens of ATF...
That means right away, Brandy.
Instantly. It's like
Thank
coffee.
You. Wait a minute. Is this like the apocalypse?
Yeah,
so let's
like,
not.
Just like it.
Dozens of ATF agents took cover and exchanged fire with the Branch
Davidians.
At least I knew
who Cyrus the Great was.
Yeah, you did. The exchange of fire continued, but 45 minutes into the raid, the gunfire began to slow down as agents began to run low on ammo. The McLennan County Sheriff's Department contacted the ATF and negotiated a ceasefire.
Yeah, that's when you negotiate the ceasefire when you're low on ammo.
Right.
Yeah, time out.
Time out. It's like the guy at second base. Just a minute here.
The Branch Davidians allowed the ATF dead and wounded to be evacuated and held their fire during the ATF retreat.
You done?
What happens now?
Yeah, Charles, tell us now. Okay, we're in a siege.
Well, my damn watch broke, Timmy.
It's a siege.
I know, but we got a problem here, Timmy.
And you know who the attorney general was during the siege?
Janet Reno.
Attractive young lady.
She was not.
Who had a very large breast, if I recall.
She had massive breasts.
And she wore a support hose, if I remember correctly.
She did. I believe
remember
she was.
Remember Dana Carvey used to play her on Saturday Night Live?
Well, so did Will Ferrell.
I believe she was a lesbian.
Well, that's nothing wrong with that, but she was,
no,
she
but
was
I believe
attorney general.
She did not come out as a lesbian.
All right, continue.
I didn't know she had.
Okay, so we're in the siege here, okay?
She probably knew about the clit.
It was
she probably knew more than both of you put together.
Oh, we know about the clit.
You know shit from apple butter.
Oh, we know, Timmy. We know the clit.
You
two know shit.
We are intimately
from apple
familiar
butter.
With the clit.
Mm. We're clitologists. I'm a licensed clitologist.
I'm an amateur.
I can draw you. Colonel's already drawn pictures.
So he's eligible for the Olympics, while you clearly are not.
I actually won a silver in the Clit Olympics. I got beat by another woman.
It's the Clit Olympics.
I got beat by an Eastern German.
Fucking East Russians.
Goddamn East German judge. I deserve a 10. She gave me an 8.5. Wow.
Fucking good time, Timmy. Jesus Christ.
It was your landing, Timmy.
My dismount.
You didn't stick the landing.
Yeah. The dismount was weak on that one.
I love that. Like the Olympics or the ice skating when you get judged on your music.
Yeah. And this is another thing.
I mean, it's not a sport if they're judging you on your music.
Nothing's a sport if they're judging you. If something goes in the basket, goes over the wall, and if you get a point for something that's objective,
I was hoping we could get off topic again.
It's a sport,
right?
Otherwise, it's a fucking hobby.
Let me tell you something. Wait a minute. It's not a sport if you can smoke and drink while you're doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Golf ain't
a
sport.
That's the only time
golf
it's
like bowling.
No. Ice skating ain't no damn sport.
You're full of shit. You couldn't do it.
Speed skating is a sport.
I want you to know I can do a triple cow sow.
Well, that's not what it's called,
yeah,
but okay.
I'm pretty sure. That's how you described her, Timmy.
I can do a triple cow sow.
That's not a move you did on skates. It's how you described one of
it's
your
It's a sow cow, you fucking
Craig
savage.
Timmy.
You fucking savage.
No, I wanted to bang as Michelle Kwan.
Of course you did.
That's so racist.
No, who was
Christy Yamaguchi.
Oh, Christy Yamaguchi. I was in love.
See,
with
there you
Yamaguchi.
Go again. Oh, he's got to get can't up. Bang Nancy Hartigan or Tanya
Kerrigan.
And what about Tanya Harding? Oh, you know she'd be wild and bad.
Did you
but
see
I'd be
that?
Afraid
see
she'd beat me with
did
shit.
Did you see that? Like, did you see that her on that tape where she's holding her husband's spunk in her hands?
No,
yeah.
That's disgusting. Where's your fucking hands? Makes me want to
we
go ahead and use a sanitizer.
We know how you feel about goo in your hands, Timmy.
The goo should not be in the hands. Unless you're rubbing the clit, then it's acceptable.
But that's different kinds of goo.
Well, right. You got the female goo and the, God. And the men goo.
And they got
for
the super
love
goo.
Of all,
they got super goo, Timmy.
For the love of all that's good and holy, could you please tell me what happened
next? I tell you
next?
What, I had a woman squirt on me one time.
Oh, and, for fuck's sake.
And that shit should be outlawed. That shit. That's a law against nature right there. That's a crime against humanity.
Did she hand you safety glasses before
you went down? You've got to tell someone.
I'm like, fucking done.
It's like if you hey, it's like you're going down to someone who has epilepsy. You should tell them. You know, you owe that to your partner. Tell them. Oh, man. It was gross.
Was it like a fire hose knocking across the room?
I felt like I need like little windshield wipers on my glasses.
Oh, my God. Did you have your little glasses that come together in the front?
When you're going down on somebody, you're wearing your glasses.
Well, from now on, I do. Well, they should tell you. That's all I'm saying. It's like being if an epileptic should
never,
tell you if they're going to have a seizure.
Maybe she'd never done it before you.
Well, probably. That's probably true.
See?
You made an honest
I'm
woman.
I'm so done.
You made an honest woman squirt to me.
I'm so done.
You know, it's not something I'm proud of. It just happens. Everywhere I go, women want to kiss me right on the mouth. I can't help it. I'm only human.
It's good time, Timmy.
I swear to Christ, I'm gonna fucking.
All I'm picturing.
I'm gonna put bacon grease all over good time, Timmy.
All I'm picturing in my head
is Timmy down there with his glasses that come in the front,
and then
will your face get burned by the? You know, your face ever get burned by the thighs?
No,
It can cause a skin condition.
I ain't never been with a bitch with hairy thighs.
No, they're rubbing them. They rub their thighs against your face so tightly. It can cause structural damage to your face.
Structural damage.
Yeah.
That's why you grow a beard. They don't want no part of that prickly stuff against the inside
of
your thighs.
Your cheekbones can be damaged.
No, they can't.
They can't.
You get a beard, you ain't got to worry about none of that.
You've never had a sprained cheek before. I have.
You know, is it Andy Volley?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a beard.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a beard, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wouldn't even be able.
What does that have to do with anything? That's out of context.
We're talking about beards.
Yeah. That's nothing to do with David Koresh.
Would you stay on point?
Really?
Yeah. Try to stay on here.
You know what?
Please continue, Colonel.
Just because you set some girl off like a fucking fire hydrant. That I'm getting off topic because you started talking about beards. I cannot handle this shit. I am on the edge of fucking stabbing the both of you in the fucking face with a screwdriver.
I shouldn't went for the. See, the problem was, Colonel, you got to be careful when you're rubbing the clit. Because you know.
You do.
Yeah.
You do, because you can get them overexcited.
Exactly.
And then
they squirt on you.
Well, they get hysterical,
yeah.
Timmy.
Yeah.
I mean, bet she just hysterics. Peed on you. I bet that's all it was. You probably got a golden shower. That's why your eyes burned.
Oh, it burned.
Continue, Colonel. This is
didn't
nonsense.
Stop you, clearly. Because you're a professional and you got to finish.
Well, he is the Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle played hurt.
Yeah. Well, you know. So he's playing blind.
Well,
can you wait a minute? Here. Can you picture it with his glasses all whopper-jawed?
I don't use my glasses. But you should use some protective eye gear when you're down there. If a woman is squirting, she needs to tell you. She has an obligation to lay that out on the table. If she's epileptic or if she has.
No,
nobody
see,
is epileptic.
See, I considered epilepsy a pleasant surprise.
Nobody is epileptic.
I mean,
or she's a squirter. She has an obligation to tell you. Don't you believe that's the case? If you were a squirter, wouldn't you want Dave to know? before he takes his life.
I think he would know if she
Yeah,
was.
I think, yeah, he would
if
know.
If he was doing it right, he would
well,
know.
Well, that's the point. You have an obligation as the squirter to inform the squirtee that you might be squirting.
He learned this in law school.
Right.
Yeah, it's the third year.
Do you, yeah. Wait a minute, do you announce every time you're getting ready to squirt?
Actually, yeah. Oh, you bitch.
Oh, this one girl I dated. She was
oh, good.
Perfect. Her quote was always, "Not in the hair, not in the hair."
Oh, I know. What makes them think that we're aiming for the hair?
I don't aim for anything for that matter.
I don't aim.
No, you know what I get.
I know
all
nature
the time.
Takes the course.
Get off
but,
my
but,
hair,
but. But at least I don't, you know, squirt in their eyes. Well, maybe sometimes I do. But
look,
they're not.
Welcome the angry
so
part.
For you, nature can take its course. But for her,
it's a difference. I'm much closer.
I doubt it.
You can't get any closer than what I get.
Well, but if she's
without being behind her.
But if she's without having your head completely up in there.
Yeah. Without
but if
being
she,
in the birth canal.
If she's down there and you decide to go, you know, you're deciding to let loose. I mean, you know, so she's just as
yeah,
much danger as you
eyes,
are.
But see, in fairness, if it gets in her eyes at that point, that's her fault.
Then maybe it's Timmy's fault.
No, because it's because
she's a squirter. All guys are squirters, yeah. But not all women are. And the women have an obligation as a squirter to inform the squirtee
that
they might
be squirting.
You
things. Should just be happy that there is some girl letting you do that to her.
It's
instead
a known
of
fact.
Bitching about it.
He's got a known fact.
It's a known fact that men ejaculate at only approximately 18 miles an hour. It only leaves your penis at 18 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's not a health threat to
that's
anybody.
That's a known fact.
That's not a health threat.
Oh, this one. But I mean, it was like 145 miles an hour.
It was like the Selma fire hoses they turned on people.
How do you know what his squirting experience was like?
If there was a...
Timmy came in the
if
one,
there was a
the
cop, she would got a speeding ticket for her squirt.
Were you standing up there with...
I had
a radar gun.
Yeah.
He had a power wash his toilet just, or his bathtub after that.
I'm just
that.
Saying, if a woman is a squirter, she needs to give the guy a heads up. That's all I'm saying. That's only fair. Right? Am I right?
I believe it's only fair.
Okay, can we
but
get...
I do believe that you
can
don't have
to...
Can
we please get on with this?
I believe that, and for our epileptic friends there, I believe that's just a pleasant surprise. I think I'm doing a good job.
So you were banging someone who may have seizures. You have no problem with that.
Well, hell yeah, you get that seizure thing going on, and it's like...
Well, see, I never know if they're having seizures or storgasms. I never know.
Well,
in your case, it's probably seizures.
Yeah. I like to turn strobe lights on just to get it going. But, you know, it's...
So you test it.
It's just a pleasant surprise. That's what I look at. Right. It's a bonus.
All right, back to David Koresh.
Okay.
Brandy's being silly.
Yeah, now, come on, Devil. Try not to interrupt me here so I could finish my part, okay?
Mm-hmm. You think you Jason Dykes did a lot of work on this, and you're talking about all this nonsense.
Jesus Christ. Now, Jason, I'm going to try to bring some life to your script.
Get the fuck on with it.
I'm getting...
No, you're not. You're yammering.
I'm like Al Pacino and Robert De Niro.
You're not like that
at
all.
Would you scream at Marlon Brando?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, she would.
If he was fucking up the start of my weekend, you goddamn right I would.
Over there. Hurry it up, whore. Those hungry people, they're going to be dead next week anyway. Just get the fuck out of my way. So, all right, here we go, Timmy. We're at the siege,
Would you
Timmy.
Bang a leper?
Oh, yeah, I would.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Just want to get that on the record. I would like to also put on the record that Brandy is dipping into Jif peanut butter as we speak.
Yeah.
That's how much respect she has for our audience.
Maybe that'll keep her quiet.
Yeah, maybe that peanut butter will make it stick to her lips.
I'm going to put some on your nose and let you lick it off.
Now, for the siege.
Yes.
Four ATF agents, Steve Willis, Robert Williams, Todd McKeehan and Conway Charles LeBlue were killed during the raid. Another 16 were wounded. The five Branch Davidians killed in the raid were Winston Blake. He was a British guy. Peter Gent. He's an Aussie.
I wonder if he knew Lady Beverly.
I do not know. Pete Gent was an Aussie. Peter Hipsman, he was killed. Perry Jones and J. Dean Wendell. Now, outside the complex, the FBI assembled the largest force.
Was Perry Jones Koresh's father-in-law?
Do not know.
Well, he married two of his daughters.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
No, I don't know.
Is that their dad?
No, this is a different.
Jones is a pretty common name.
Yeah.
Here
it's
like, in the United
yeah.
States.
I'm just asking.
It's like John Q. Public.
John Doe.
You motherfuckers, I swear to God.
Just eat your peanut butter.
Eat your peanut butter, look pretty, and let the men do the real heavy lifting here.
Let the colonel do the...
Well, when they get here,
let me bring this to life, okay?
Yeah.
Now, outside of the Mount Carmel complex, the FBI assembled, Timmy, the largest force ever gathered against a civilian suspect in American history. These some bitches had 12 tanks, 4 combat engineering vehicles, 674 agents, 15 Army personnel, 13 members of the Texas National Guard, 31 Texas Rangers, including Chuck Norris.
All they needed was one Chuck Norris.
131 officers from the Texas Department of Public Safety.
What's the guy that's a sheriff? He's an actor and he's also a sheriff.
Steven Seagal?
Yeah, I wonder if he was there.
No, he wasn't there.
But all they needed was one Chuck Norris. Oh. Everybody else was overkill. Were there any Black Hawk helicopters?
Probably.
No.
They bring in a lot of resources for that.
There was 17 from the McLennan County Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, basically, they did.
And 18 Waco, 899 law enforcement officials there, Timmy. Hmm. Now, in the first few days, FBI believed that they had made a breakthrough when they negotiated
with
Koresh. Are you going to let me get through this?
I just wonder if they had tasers.
Sure. I don't know if the motherfuckers had tasers. They could have had swords. They could have had goddamn bows and motherfucking arrows. I do not
it's
know.
It's a fair question.
Good time Timmy sucks.
Motherfuckers.
Oh, okay.
They could have been hurling fucking rocks over with a catapult.
No, I was not.
I said he was okay with me talking about clitorises.
Well, because it's a new subject for him.
I'm just saying.
He has drawn pictures of clitorises before.
He's anatomically correct. I forgot.
He does good work. I must say, he does good work.
Yeah.
You got the furry stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was wonderful when I wiped my ass with it later.
You need to post that picture again, Colonel. That was very, for our listeners, so that they
I would
know.
I meant to send that to Brittany, and I need to send that off to her. Yeah. Now, in the first few days, Timmy, now this is where it gets really ugly here.
Okay, what happened?
The FBI believed they had made a breakthrough when they negotiated with Koresh an agreement that the Branch Davidians would peacefully leave the compound in return for a message recorded by Koresh being broadcast on national radio. Broadcast was made.
That seems fair.
But Koresh then told the negotiators God had told him to wait in the building.
Mm.
See, that using that God card, that's bullshit, right there.
I'm telling you, God should just leave well enough alone. Let the ATF handle it instead of, giving Dave Koresh all these
things. Maybe God wanted him in one spot so they could get him.
Well, negotiators managed to facilitate the release of 19 children aging in age of 5 to 12 years old without the parents. But 98 of these fools remained in the building. Now, during the siege, the FBI sent a video camera to the Branch Davidians. In the videotape made by Koresh's followers, Koresh introduced his children and his wives, including several minors who claimed to have had babies fathered by Koresh. This did not go over well. The Branch Davidians sent out the videotape to show the FBI there were no hostages, but in fact, everyone seemingly was staying inside on their own free will. When the tape was reviewed, there was concern that the tapes released to the media would gain sympathy for Koresh and the Branch Davidians. As the siege continued, Koresh negotiated more time so he could write religious documents, which he said needed to be completed. His conversations, dense with biblical imagery, alienated the federal negotiators, who were primarily atheists and heathens. And they treated the situation as a hostage crisis. No, they could have been Christians. I don't know. As the siege wore on, two factions developed within the FBI. One believing in negotiations, the other believing in burning the goddamn thing to the whole ground. Increasingly aggressive techniques were used to try to force the Davidians out. Sleep deprivation. They cut off the electricity. They cut off the water. They cut off the phone.
That's what they did with Manuel Noriega in Panama. Remember they played like Led Zeppelin music on loudspeakers?
Real loud.
Yeah.
Now, during the siege, a number of scholars who study apocalypticism and religious groups attempted to persuade...
Excuse me, Brandy, was that the right pronunciation of that word?
No.
Apocalypticism?
All right, continue.
Yeah, I believe it was. I believe it was Daniel motherfucking Webster. I believe I got that right, all right? So during the siege, a number of scholars who study apocalypticism and religious groups attempted to persuade the FBI that the siege tactics being used by the agents would only reinforce the impression with the Davidians that they were part of a biblical end times confrontation that had cosmic significance.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. It kind of fed into their whole philosophy of end of days.
The FBI called in religious experts to negotiate with Koresh. The negotiators urged the FBI to be patient. Koresh was asking for more time to complete his religious manifesto. The negotiators...
Do you have a religious manifesto, Colonel?
I do, Timmy. It's okay. In a safe that will be released upon... at 50 years after my untimely demise.
Your demise. Mm-hmm. So 50 years. Can't wait to see that.
Yeah, well, you won't be alive for that. The negotiators stated...
Your comments on that, Brandy.
God willing and the creek don't rise.
The negotiators stated that they believed Koresh would have finished the manuscript within two weeks. The FBI said, I'll give you 3 days, motherfucker. That's all you get. It's like dealing with the people with student loans or some shit, you know. Oh, if you just give me 2 weeks, you know, no, motherfucker, you got 3 days. So,
into your pockets.
yeah. By the morning of April 19th, holding Koresh responsible for the deaths of 4 ATF agents and feeling pressure to bring the standoff to an end, the FBI moved in on Sunday, April 19th, 1993. Loudspeakers were used to tell the Davidians that there would be no armed assault and to ask them not to fire on the vehicles.
That was a lie.
Yeah, it was about 6 p.m. The FBI surveillance tapes from the devices planted in the wall in the building recorded a man inside the compound saying, everybody wake up. Let's start to pray then. Pablo, have you poured it yet? In the hallway. Things are poured, right? Now, after knocking holes in the main building... Something the colonel does. That's a euphemism for what the colonel does sometimes on the weekends, but knocking holes in the main building.
Mrs. Colonel's the main building, isn't
it? Oh, yeah. She does. She is structured to me. But anyway, right. FBI agents launched
a brick house.
House. Okay, you started that one.
Yeah, you did. You walked into that, Brandy.
So anyway.
Trying to get all worked out.
After knocking holes, the FBI launched 400 tear gas canisters inside. And, much like the colonel's Friday night, walls were rammed, sending huge chunks of concrete crashing down on those huddled inside. At 7:23 a.m., surveillance tapes recorded a male Davidian saying, the fuel has to go all around to get started. Then the second male says, well, there are 2 cans here if that's poured soon.
Right. So now, the implication is they were going to burn the place.
They were
going to
burn the place.
Right? And so.
Burn, baby, burn.
That.
The video inferno.
That gave the ATF a justification for the raid, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, from.
She's mighty, mighty, just letting it all hang out.
Ow! She's a brick. And here we got.
Lady sacked, and that's a fact. They ain't holding nothing back.
Chicken down, chicken down, down. Chicken down, chicken down, chicken down, down. Okay.
You fuckers.
Now, from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., a series of remarks such as, we didn't start the fire.
Oh, do not sing that song. You don't know it. You'll go blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah. JFK something one say. Away. JFK didn't know what to say. Anyway, one of the remarks was, I want a fire and keep that fire going. Do you think I could light this soon? Now, he could have been holding a spliff. Nobody really knows for sure. That's right. Been argued.
Right. But the implication
but it indicates
was,
that they were going to start fire around the complex.
Right.
Now, surviving Branch Davidians testified that Coleman fuel had been poured, and fire experts in John Danforth's 2000 report that people inside the complex had started multiple accelerated fires. An accelerated fire, devil, is when you put something that speeds up the fire. Such
are,
as
you,
gasoline.
Are you talking to me? Because I quit listening. So get through your
we're,
shit.
We're just trying to tell you.
Try, I'm just you, trying man, to tell
you,
you get through your fucking
you
shit. You
can learn something.
I don't need
if you ever
learn from
it,
you.
If you were ever turning into a lesbian, you would know not
all
about
I can
the
learn
clitoris
from you
here.
Is spitting shit out.
Okay.
Have you ever learned anything? When
from
you,
Chuck? No.
No, from our podcast. Have you learned about
from Chuck? No,
about clitoris today.
Clitoris, you know, clitoris, leader of Rome.
Yeah. Here's the thing, I have said body part, so I'm pretty familiar with it. Like I got that.
Yeah.
So,
but and you
and, while
and
I
you
appreciate,
will you confirm that what I say is correct?
First of all, that is you are just weirding me out. So I would really rather not. Confirm or deny what you say is correct.
Okay, so she's basically saying I was right.
Right. Yeah, that's what I heard her say to me. You're right, Timmy.
Thank you for your
for her feedback.
Thank you for confirming what we already know. That
well, we
is
already
that,
knew. Yeah. Did Timmy's a clitoral expert?
Yeah, I'm a clitoriologist.
At around noon, three fires broke out.
I went to all the classes. Not just
yeah,
one.
Not just, yeah, he's not a situational clitoral man. Right. He's a all full time.
Yeah.
He's all clitoris
oh
all the time.
Oh my God.
Comprehensive clitoriologist. Yeah.
Now, at around noon,
I'm on Yelp.
Three fires. You're on Yelp.
I am.
I'm going to look up clitoral manipulation on your phone there, devil. See if you get five
I'm sure
stars.
It's not the first time.
I am not.
It's a shit. Favorite.
She ain't even got to look it up. She got a fucking one of those little desktop
she's got the
shortcuts.
App.
Yeah.
Are we
that's
we
the
way
you pay for, you know? It's not free.
You know what? This is why we can't get a fucking potty because of you two. So can we get on with this shit, please?
Okay. Sorry, we're trying to be serious here. Would you just pay attention?
Jason put a lot of work in this.
Yeah, devil. Appreciate it. Now.
Really?
The people inside said that inside the complex said that there had been accelerated fires. Now, we just went over that with you. Did you remember what I was talking about? At around noon, three fires broke out almost simultaneously. That means at the same time, devil.
Yeah.
In different parts of the building. That means in different parts of the building, devil. And it spread quickly.
I love how he breaks it down.
Yeah. And it spread quickly.
He's an educator.
Hmm? And, devil, it spread quickly. Much like your legs on prom night. So, only 9 people. I thought that was a good one, Timmy.
I don't think she did.
Spread quickly like your legs on prom night, girl. I don't know what your prom night was like.
How was your prom?
How was your prom?
Who did you go with?
Lanny.
Did you go to the prom?
Yeah.
We seen pictures of her.
Yeah, yeah. I know. What was
prom.
Your date's name? First name?
Rodney.
All right. Was he hung?
He was my boyfriend at the time.
Did you guys do it after
did
prom?
Did you do the dirty?
Look.
This is a simple question, yes or no?
This is all I care about right now. You
have
two pages
left. She banged him. She banged. You know she did.
She did. If she didn't, she would have been like, no, I would have not banged after prom.
You have 2 pages left.
No, I've only got 1 sentence left.
I bet they were in back of a Vega.
Is there another? Is there another?
A gremlin.
Page?
74 gremlin.
A gremlin. First of all, I did not date anybody that drove a gremlin.
I don't even think gremlins were around by the time she was in high school.
No, that's right.
All of them had fallen off the road.
Yeah, she's a little younger than us, I guess.
Yes, I'm a lot younger than you, actually.
Only 9 people left the building
during
the fire.
That's why you don't know about the clitoris. Yeah. Once you've got some experience, then you'll be wise like the colonel and I.
Yeah. You'll be
wise in the ways of love like the colonel and I.
Love masters.
Yeah.
We got our black belts in love, devil. So only 9 people left the building during the fire because apparently these people was a little bit slow-witted too. So the remaining Davidians, including the children, were either buried by rubble, Jesus Christ, or suffocated by the effects of the fire, or
that's terrible.
Shot. According to the FBI, Steve Schneider shot and killed Koresh. Footage of the blaze was broadcast live by television crews, and all 76 Branch Davidians died, and 9 survived the fire on April 19th. Autopsy records also indicate that at least 20 were shot, including 5 children under the age of 14. There's controversy over who did that shooting. 3-year-old Dalen Gint was stabbed in the chest. Large concentration of bodies, weapons, and ammunition was found in the bunker. Unless it were deliberately set, the probability of 3 fires starting almost simultaneously, that's at the same time double, was highly unlikely. That means highly unlikely is mean not probable, according to fire
You're
experts.
You're adding all these extra words that I'm not listening to.
Also, some of the surviving Davidians' clothing showed evidence of lighter fluid and other accelerants. Hmm. Accelerants speed things up, devil. Still, there are many suggestions in print and on the internet that what happened at Waco was the result of a government conspiracy, Timmy.
Hmm.
On the second anniversary of the Waco fire, the Alfred P. Murrah building in Oklahoma was blown up, killing 168 people, partially in protest of the governmental action against the Branch Davidians.
Timothy McVeigh
did it. He got the gas.
He was protesting there at the compound there in Waco during the siege.
So it's all over. But the FBI still, I believe, maintains that they did not fire a shot during that thing. So all the shootings came from inside,
according to the FBI.
According to the FBI,
you know, that's one of the things. Who do you believe? Because
we don't have. But
it's probably a little bit of both. I would imagine it's probably,
I can't. It's hard to say. It's, to me, it's always been because once that fire started.
Yeah, it's chaos.
There was really no reason for the FBI to be shooting unless they heard. Everybody was inside the middle of the compound.
Yeah, and you're on edge. I mean, you've got.
No, I could see the FBI
shooting. Some of your fellow agents have been killed. So naturally, you're going to be on edge when shit goes down.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, there's one side that says the government acted recklessly, and there's the other side that says this was all the.
This is another much like Ruby Ridge.
Yeah, sort of.
But I think this is what I've always believed about that is these people are all concentrated on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So now I do not believe the FBI's version that they never fired a shot during this last part of the siege. But because I believe they did, I don't believe they shot anybody because everybody was inside the middle of the compound.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been hard for him to shoot him.
So you think it was all done from the inside?
The people who were shot by other Davidians, but I don't believe the FBI story that they did not fire a shot.
Gotcha.
Nine Davidians were sentenced to jail. All were out as of 2007, and 9 who escaped. That is Jason's telling of the Branch Davidians. We have probably ruined it. I can see this is why we get 1-star reviews, because the devil wants to go on about, her nonsense, prom and whatnot.
Yes.
We're trying to educate people about clitoral regions. And
we're a public service. Brandy, your final thoughts on religious leader David Koresh?
I do not like him.
Okay. That's fair. Colonel, your final thoughts on David Koresh? Cult, Brandy? Yes or no?
Yes.
Cult. I call it a cult. Okay. I call cult.
Okay. I'm going to be open-minded and say it was a religious sect like our friend Jason, because he's a very wise man, and I always try to listen to Jason. He knows about the clitoris as well, I might add.
How do you know?
Brandy. We share notes. Brandy.
Yes.
Would you like to thank our Patreon supporters, those who give their hard-earned money so that we can provide you such quality
programming? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Let me find my new name, because Chuck threw papers at me and covered up my shit.
It's John.
Yeah, I got that. It's written down right there.
Okay. So Brandy is going to thank all of you who...
I would like to thank all of our Patreon supporters today. We're going to start with John. He's new.
Cutting me off like that.
Daniel and Kimberly Bassett, Jen Moyer and David Hill, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Shelley Garrett, Bridget Clavey, Brandy McBride, Maggie Glover, Lorna Violet, Andrea O'Dell, Janilyn.
Yes, Janilyn.
Very
lovely. For the 18th time, it's Janilyn. Jim Seabright, Michael Deo, Russ Charlotte, Karen Widner, Callie Jones, Joseph Kerr, Lauren Meredith, Jessica Greeno, Mike Brown of the Pleasing Terrors podcast.
Which is an awesome podcast, by the way. Check it out on iTunes, Pleasing Terrors.
Yes. Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp, Joe Hopkins of the Now American History podcast.
Another great American history podcast. They tie in what's happening today in current events with American history. Check out Now American podcast.
Becky Omlett, Karen Alden, Cheryl Pierce, Caitlin Campbell, Fiona Crisp, Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Donna Curran, Maja, Aaron with an A, Kimberly Cambron, Elise Edrington, Diane Student from the History Goes Bump podcast.
Another excellent podcast, History Goes Bump. Check it out, available on iTunes.
Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville, Jahara Lopes, Alicia and Chip, Jeff and Don Chestnut, who are both starting their own podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait. The one is called Backroads to History, mm-hmm. and another one is Poems by Jeff, and we can't wait till those are available. They're not available quite yet, but they will be soon.
Andrew Happ, Karen Barnes, Rachel Flynn, Holly Woodward, Shirley Strapp, who decided to make herself known again. We are very happy.
You know what?
That
somebody's getting
back.
Shirley's goddamn phone number.
I got it.
Did you?
I called her.
Because I'm sick and tired of this. I go up to Canada. They search me. They detain me. I'm just looking for a squirrel.
We were worried about Shirley.
And you know the squirrels are black up in Canada.
Okay.
No, they are. It's crazy.
I've seen them. The squirrels are black. I don't care.
It's disturbing.
Todd Long, Lydia Fisher, Tyrone, Phyllis Munson, Sarah Morgan, Melissa Montoya, Brittany Martin, Jennifer Siemens, Cindy Liu, Heather Poole, the cast of Canadian True Crime.
Another excellent podcast.
Christy.
Charlie and Allie from the Insight podcast.
And they just started Insight Junior.
They did. Nene, Bridget Bernhard, the cast of They Walk Among Us.
Rosanna and Ben.
Best podcast out there. Also, Rosanna's brother Ricky has a podcast.
Squirm.
Called Squirm. It's very, very funny.
Ricky is, you know, he's the funniest guy I've ever heard in podcasting.
And the Colonel has an episode on there, or two episodes.
Mine tend to go a little.
Yeah, you talk a lot. All right, Brandy, continue.
Stacy, Christine Hauer, Cheryl Weldon, and the world's most dangerous canine, Rudy the Wonder Dog.
Okay, Brandy, thank you for those lovely shout outs to our Patreon supporters. Do you have any final thoughts of today, Brandy?
I do not.
Are you ready for your weekend to commence?
I am.
All right. Any special messages to our listeners out there? Would you like for them to come to DweebCon this year?
I would love for them to come to DweebCon this year.
When is DweebCon, Brandy?
It is October 13th, 14th, and 15th. It's going to be in Cincinnati, clearly. That's where everybody voted for. We have an official hotel where everybody's going to get a group rate, and
we're going to have a lot of fun.
And there is a
be debauchery, Timmy.
There'll be boobs.
There's a thread on our page that's specifically for that. So if you go to our page, it's DweebCon 2017.
I wasn't going to announce this yet, but as a special treat to those who attend the DweebCon, I'm going to give a special class on clitorology.
I will be sitting in the front row, Timmy. Unless you're doing it to a squirter, then it's going to be like a Gallagher comedy show, and I'm going to be in the back row. I might have a raincoat. Yeah.
Okay. So we've got that going. So everybody, I think we're going to get some T-shirts together. It's going to be
a lot of fun.
And if you have ideas, shoot them over to Dominique, because she is very flexible.
Yeah,
and
Dominique
she loves
Wagner.
She loves ideas.
She's very open.
She's very open to other people's opinions.
Yes, she is.
But if you want more information, come to our Facebook group. Join our Facebook group. It's History Dweebs, the podcast, available on Facebook. We're also on Twitter at History Dweebs 1. You can also follow Brandy on Twitter at Brandy Vennay.
Mm-hmm.
That's Brandy Venna. Mm-hmm. And you can follow.
Yeah, I don't tweet, though, so it doesn't really matter.
I don't really
follow. I read tweets, but I'm Hawk Walters. And you know what they're going to put us on here soon, Timmy?
What's that?
Clitter.
Yeah, Clitter. We're going to be on Clitter, Brandy. What do you think about that? Your thoughts, if any?
Your thoughts on being on Clitter.
Brandy, how are you, if at all?
I'm done. I'm leaving.
Okay. Well, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you again next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.